Hello to you, and thanks for tuning in for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. If it's your first time listening to the show, make sure to subscribe to it on iTunes so you'll get the downloads whenever there's a new episode that comes live. And I want you to go and get your free gift at marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com/influencers. You know that nowadays, a lot of people want to connect with influencers to help them grow their business or online business, and they don't know how to do it. So this has to do with the 10 biggest mistakes to avoid when connecting with influencers when growing your business. So you get it at marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com/influencers. Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 237.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabien Raphael.
Hyatt, and she's the author of the book CrowdStart, the ultimate guide to a powerful and profitable crowdfunding campaign. And I'm so excited because it's the first time I have a crowdfunding expert on the show. So she will give you great insights about everything that has to do with crowdsourcing. So you'll learn why taking the crowdsourcing route is the thing to do, how to build your crowdsourcing crowd, because it's important to build a tribe, like when you have your online business. You'll learn also how crowdsourcing and online marketing go along, because there's a lot of similarities into those two types of way to expand your reach and grow your business, and then the key elements of a great crowdsourcing campaign. So I'm so looking forward for you to hear that, and I'll see you at the back end. What's up, All-Star team? Welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, our guest is Arielle Hyatt, and I say Arielle with the French accent because she found it was like so lovely when I said it. So I want to introduce her with an introduction that I received from Laura Allen, who introduced Arielle to me, and I thought it was so good. So this is how I'm going to introduce her. So as a 20-year entrepreneur and founder of Cyber PR, a boutique PR firm, Arielle became interested in crowdfunding a decade ago while speaking on a panel with the founder of ArtistShare, the first documented crowdfunding website. And she's a seasoned speaker and dynamic guest, having spoken in over a dozen countries to 100,000 creatives and artists. And after years of advising clients on crowdfunding campaigns and putting her money where her mouth is through a ton of contributions, Arielle decided to put her PR experience, even planning and grit, into practice and launched a crowdfunding campaign of her own. So she's the author of the book CrowdStart, the ultimate guide to a powerful and profitable crowdfunding campaign, and in it she provides a clear, actionable roadmap that helps artists, entrepreneurs, and creatives figure out who's in their crowd and how to marshal that support into an effective crowdfunding campaign. So, Arielle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So, you actually, yeah, when I was reading about you, you describe yourself as an online marketing shrink, and I really love that. People tell you their thoughts, their fears, and complaints, and you'll turn them into online rock stars. So I'm curious to know, when you decided to jump and launch your own crowdsourcing campaign instead of doing it only for your clients, do you find that you experience the same struggles as some of your clients with a PR agency?
It's so interesting that you started with this question, because I came up with a very specific intention when I was, my PR firm was already about 10 years old, and I had noticed a major trend, which was a lot of artists and potential clients would call me, but they really were not ready for PR. They didn't have the money. They would spend hours, literally, of my week, randomly calling and asking questions. Mm-hmm. And so out of that, I started building an email list because I had a very active blog and I was building a tribe for years. And so I had a large tribe, and I realized that there I had touched thousands of people who had never paid me a cent because my PR services are obviously, you know, not cheap. A few of them had bought my books along the way, and I realized that I had what it would take. I had the crowd. So I decided to do the crowdfunding campaign because, like so many of us entrepreneurs and small business owners, I was making money, but I didn't have the kind of money that I needed to do my next dream, which was I wanted to publish a book, I wanted to rebrand my company, and of course those things cost a lot of money.
So is that, like, for you, it was the ultimate goal? It was to help you rebrand, and it was to help you get the funds necessary to publish that book?
It was, yes, it was to rebrand, to publish the book, and also to create an online course, which is called Social Media House, which at the time, it was a couple of years ago, it was a paid course, and now I just offer it for free online because it took so much work to create, and I want everyone to have it now.
So do you find, would you say that everybody or any business owner could go that route, or there's a certain specifics that you might have as a personality, let's say, or as a business owner before going into crowdfunding?
I think there's, yeah, exactly what you just said, but three things. The first thing is, if you don't have the kind of company that doesn't require creating a list. So I know a lot of marketers, the good news about marketers is we tend to create lists because we're marketing to a specific subset of people. So we are already heads and tails above, you know, a service provider that might only do LinkedIn or have like a small list of clients that they just serve. So you do need to have a list. You definitely need to be active on social media. And then the other thing you do need is, I would say, not only a personality like you mentioned, and that personality is the type of personality that is resistant to any kind of criticism or people coming at you or feeling judged, because I'm sure we'll talk about this in a minute, but crowdfunding campaigns definitely open up a lot of deep feelings and opinions from other people that are not always awesome. So you do have to have that kind of personality, and you also have to have the gumption and the wherewithal to really put the pedal to the metal for a 30-day campaign. And that's the thing that I think is not really talked about so much. You, if you go on Kickstarter or Indiegogo or GoFundMe, you know, it just looks so simple. Press a button, start a campaign, and just, you know, post a few times on social media and voila. Well, not at all. It's a very intricate, involved process, especially if you have a stretch goal. My goal was $50,000, which is a lot of money. The average crowdfunding campaign only raises $7,000. So it was, I had a big goal, and I'm delighted to say that I surpassed it.
Excellent. Excellent. So you said also that crowdsourcers are asking people to buy into a dream. And I love that sentence. And could you just explain like how deep this is as a saying, because people have to understand. I mean, if you're crowdsourcing, like the people behind you really have to be behind you, or else, I mean, you just won't succeed in your campaign.
Crowdfunding is a lot like dating. If you come at it and you're desperate and you seem like, you know, this is the only opportunity and you're begging, you know, you're really not going to get very far. But if you have an attitude about it where, like, you know, the world is full of abundance and everybody wants to date me, you know, we all know those people who, like, they seem to attract people. And it's not only dating. I mean, if you could be married for years and still be very, very good at attracting, you know, business prospects or new friends or, you know, those wonderful people. My friend Tom, everywhere he goes, every time we go out, we meet someone wonderful because he's that kind of human. So it's if you're that type of person, crowdfunding is going to be awesome for you.
Good, because when you're crowdfunding, as you're saying, you create kind of cheerleaders and a strong tribe and people that are dedicated to help you into achieving this goal. So how do you find these, let's say, relationships when you are crowdfunding to the ones that you have, let's say, as an online business owner, building your list? So that relationship with your list versus the relationship when you're doing crowdfunding, is there one that's different or it's literally the same type?
It's actually interesting. It's different. And I would say it's different because as a marketer or a business person, in my case, I have a PR agency and we service two very specific types of clients, right? Artists, we do a lot of musicians, people in the music industry. But then the other type of client we serve is female-owned businesses, so female entrepreneurs or intrapreneurs. Mm-hmm. So those are the two specific types of people that would call me. But I have a whole world of people, friends, relatives, that were delighted to help me with my campaign. And that's where you have to look when you're crowdfunding. So it's not only about your client base. It's about giving all the people in your world an opportunity to support you. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my best friends is a lawyer. Mm-hmm. She makes a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, very graciously gave me a lot of money. And I had an offering that was good for her, so it helped. But she never would have, you know, been a client. She's just a dear friend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you said a little bit earlier in the interview that crowdsourcing is not easy at all. So what would you say is the most difficult part about it? Let's say someone wants to start it. Like, what should they be aware of?
You should be aware of, and we already mentioned it so far, the first thing to be aware of is the average crowdfunding campaign earns $7,000. And if you go to the media, you would read, you know, about this Amanda Palmer gets $1.3 million. And, you know, you read about all these superstars like Seth Godin, you know, $1 million. That is not normal. That is what gets in the media. So mm-hmm. I think that's what propagates this this dream that people begin to have. And they think, you know, oh, I could do that and I'm going to get a fortune. Well, it's not true. So I think that's the first thing to understand. But I mean, if you think about it, most entrepreneurs or small business owners that I know could do a whole lot with $5,000, mm-hmm. or, you know, that you don't need to pay anyone, you know, well, you have to pay taxes, but yeah. imagine if you just woke up and there was $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 in your bank account and you could do anything you want with it. I mean, that's the possibility.
Mm-hmm. And also one interesting statistics that is in your book is that 60% of crowdfunding campaigns fail to make their revenue goal. And why would you say that? Are people expecting too much? Is that it?
I think that's part of it. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I found by doing a lot of research and reading is just what I said. People go in it thinking, oh, I just post this on Facebook and I tweet a few times and I send one email and I'm going to get rich. You know, and that's if you're a marketer and you understand the dynamics of digital marketing, we all know that in order to get anything, you have to send multiple emails. Mm-hmm. You have to parse your list. You have to check your open rates. You have to A/B test. I mean, all of that stuff is not known to the average crowdfunder. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of them pop up in their Gmail and they put a BCC everyone. They have no idea how to even track what's their metrics. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a major pitfall. And I think also something kind of bleak happens if you're going to do a 30-day campaign. Well, the truth is you're not going to get money on all 30 days. You're going to have some days where, you know, the lights are on and nobody's home and it feels horrible because you think, oh, great, everybody hates me. I should never have done this. This was a stupid idea. You know, you start doubting yourself. And I think a lot of people lose momentum and give up steam.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because, you know, it doesn't feel good when you're out there tweeting and Facebooking and emailing and you don't see the results.
Yes. Yes, and you often, since the beginning of the interview, you talk about a 30-day campaign, and I know that it's possible to also do 60-day campaigns from your book. And then it's funny because you were actually describing as statistics were better for 30-day campaigns than for 60-day campaigns. Do you think it's because of the sense of urgency for the 30-day campaigns?
I think that's it. And I think also it's really hard to sustain the energy that it takes for 60 days to do a crowdfunding campaign. So I think if you do it right, it does take a couple of hours every single day for all 30 days, which is another thing that people do not anticipate. So 60 days is a long time to keep going and going and going, and you're going to annoy people. If you're consistently pushing messages for 60 days.
So were you saying that most of the people doing crowdfunding are not necessarily business-oriented people? It's the people that have a project that is dear to their hearts and they really want it to succeed, so that's why they need that kind of help? Or is it mostly like business people, or it's like both? It could be, yeah, a mingle
It's
of
to
both.
Yeah, it's definitely both. Traditionally, and because I come from a music background, and you mentioned it at the top of this call, Brian from ArtistShare was the first recognized crowdfunder founder, and he founded specifically for musicians. So in the music business, it is very familiar. And if you know anyone who is a filmmaker or produces plays or creates art, you probably have noticed that they've probably done a crowdfunding campaign. We don't see it that much. I mean, Seth Godin was really an early adopter when he did his. But we are seeing it now more and more, not for products. Products has been in the market for a long time, but I'm seeing more and more marketers and people that have books or, interesting ideas to push their businesses forward using it. And that's what I advocate for.
Because I see in your book also you describe how it's important for people to that do a crowdfunding campaign to literally know who they're talking to, like the exercise about the avatar, who's the perfect client, and all those details. So it's exactly like the same thing when you have let's say, an online business and you want to target a specific audience, you need to know that perfect client by heart. So it's exactly kind of like it's kind of like the same thing, the same process.
It absolutely is. So anyone that has taken a business class or understands how to identify customers and go after them, you're going to be, heads above the average person that launches a campaign with, a dream.
So if now we switch into the platforms, because there are several of them and we have several choices. So first of all, how do we choose which platform to use?
So there are many platforms. I talk about only the largest ones in the book. The blue chip one that I think everybody knows is Kickstarter. So we can start with the old Kickstarter. Wonderful platform. Kickstarter is an all or nothing platform, meaning if you want to get $10,000 and you raise $9,999, you will not get your money if
No
you don't.
way.
Don't get 100%. So that is one of the biggest things to know. It's an all or nothing, which is okay. I mean, if you have a budget allocated for something specific that you want to do and you can't figure out how you could possibly do it with a penny less, then Kickstarter's for you. Indiegogo is different. They allow you to do a partial raise. So if you get $5,000, they take a little bit of a higher percentage, but you can keep a partial raise. Another major benefit for Indiegogo is they can help you create a nonprofit status. So if you want to raise money for a charity or give a percentage of your raise to something that you feel passionate about, they allow you to do that, and that's a very, very good benefit. GoFundMe is also a massive platform. That one tends to be for more personal things, like someone needs medical assistance or they have to pay for a funeral or a child that's ill. You tend to see more of those types of campaigns on GoFundMe, although of course creators use it as well, but it's really for personal use. And obviously if you've ever had someone in your life that's had something bad happen, you will see after tornadoes or earthquakes or floods, GoFundMes pop up everywhere. One, I'd give one honorable mention for, if you are a musician, Pledge Music is a wonderful platform that really helps artists and musicians.
You also say how important it is to build a crowdfunding team. How many members should someone have in their team? Because you say it's a big effort for 30 days. It's like the, as if you're speeding for like 30 days and stuff. So how many people and what should all of them do?
It depends on how your people are.
Okay.
If you have someone who's really reliable and available and has time, you could probably do it with one extra person, but I would recommend a few, and I call them your board of directors. So I had a few different people that really helped me get through my crowdfunding campaign. I had my boyfriend then, now my husband, who, you know, talked me off the wall every night when I was almost in tears going, everybody hates me, I'm never going to get this money. And just someone there for serious emotional support. And he really believed in me the whole time. So that's very important. And not everybody has that. I've coached a lot of people who their spouses aren't that supportive. So if those people closest to you can't get on board, don't put them on your board of directors. And then I had a very, very wealthy, successful friend who is a great coach, who not only gave me a tremendous donation, but was also very, very amazing. He got on the phone with me late at nights, and he would help coach me through, and he was wonderful. And then I also did actually hire someone who helped me with designing the graphics and writing the copy and spell checking all of the different emails that I had, and just someone who, you know, could help me with the social posting at the right times, just an extra pair of hands. Even though I run a marketing company, it was fantastic to have. And I also do have a team, so I benefited from, I could look at my staff and be like, hey guys, help me today. You know, so that was tremendous as well.
How big of an accomplishment was this for you, Ariel, when you were able to, well, when you realized that you nailed it and that you were teaching people how to do it and you have done it yourself also?
I mean, the accomplishment for me, my crowdfunding campaign is one of the most amazing things I've ever done in my career. I mean, the fact that just people in my community gave me $62,000 is, I still like pinch myself. So it was amazing. And I'm very much a type of person that I strongly believe that if you can't do, don't teach. And I know that that's antithetical to what they say, like those that can't do teach, which we do see that all the time. Anyone that's a marketer sees that a lot. All these marketing gurus and social media experts out there, they're not all really experts. So that's, you know, I always wonder, you know, like you wouldn't have someone manage your money who wasn't a self-made millionaire, would you? You know, you want to have people that are very, very good at what they do help you to do. So I decided that part of what I would do with my crowdfunding campaign was write CrowdStart, because I knew that it was going to be a battle, and it was, and I did want to have something that people could refer to. That's my part of my campaign promise.
And I totally understand that. And what I was also surprised to find in your book is that you literally gave the entire timeline for your campaign. So you were very generous into giving details and day one, day two, day three, this is what you need to do. And then 3 months before, this is what you need to do. So basically, the person who buys that book, they have the step-by-step in order to succeed with it. And I know that sometimes in business or authors, they're kind of scared of literally giving too much information because, I don't know, maybe they're shy or they don't want not to have anything to sell afterwards. So why did you decide to go like all in and just give it all?
This is my gift. I this is a heck of a time, not only for artists, but I think for anyone that's trying to create a living, if it's your side hustle or if it's the thing you do full time. As a small business owner for 20 years, I mean, I always talk to fellow small business owners, and it is really hard and lonely being an entrepreneur. And I've had every possible type of inconvenience that we all have as small business owners, like the Department of Labor sniffing around to make sure that you're completely in compliance, and, you know, having to deal with scary letters that come from the government about your taxes that you don't quite understand, and, you know, having to file all of your paperwork and deal with your quarterly payments. And I mean, just running a business, just keeping your, you know, your payments straight for, I have five different insurance policies because I run a business, you know, so there's all this stuff that we have to do that is exhausting and difficult. Then there's the bookkeeping, the 1099ing, I mean, it goes on and on and on,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So I just felt like I didn't want to have an upsell attached to this. I might launch a course where I help coach people through a crowdfunding campaign, but I just wanted this to be my little gift to everyone. Like, take this information. If you make money and you come out on the other side and you want to hire me, great. But I just wanted this to be a gift.
It's a great gift, I have to say, because I read it myself, and I'm sure that some people listening, or a lot of people listening, will just want to get that book. So tell us, Arielle, if they want to get it, where should they go?
So you can download a free chapter at my website, if you're skeptical, at ariellehyatt.com. You can also get it on Amazon. It's out in Kindle for $7.99. And if you're a Kindle Unlimited reader, it's free. And please get in touch with me. If you do buy the book, I will send you my 11-part social media tune-up course and a whole swipe file full of all of the templates of all of the emails. So I give a nice little bonus package. If you would like to get it, come and find me either at CyberPR on Twitter or at ariellehyatt.com.
All right. Thank you so much for such a pleasant interview. I really appreciated it. And I have to say, it's the first time I have on the show someone specialized in crowdfunding. So thank you for coming.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you so much.
I sincerely hope that you appreciated this interview with Arielle Hyatt. And sincerely, I thought that she was very generous with all the information she gave you about CrowdStart, her book, The Ultimate Guide to a Powerful and Profitable Crowdfunding Campaign. And I was really excited about this interview, and I was so right about it. If you want to get her book, you know everything in the show notes. So just go at marketingtocrushyourcompetitorspodcast.com. And if you're not subscribed to the show yet, what are you waiting for? It's easy to do. You just go on iTunes and you click the subscribe button, and that's it. So each week when the new episode will come live, you'll be aware of it and you'll be able to listen to it. And the first people that know about it. So subscribe to the show. So thank you for being here again this week for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. I truly appreciate you, and I truly hope that you'll have a great week. So I'll see you again next week for another episode. All right? Take care.